Greetings! Urban Buzz Magazine is proud to welcome world-renowned tenor saxophonist Javon Jackson. From Mark Blakey's Jazz Messengers to working with legendary musicians such as Elvin Jones, Freddie Hubbard, Betty Carter, among many others, Javon is also a band leader, educator, businessman, and all-around jazz arts champion. His latest album, released on his own Solid Jackson label, is a masterfully matched soundtrack for the excellent new documentary With Peter Bradley. Now, for those who don't know, Peter Bradley was the first black elevated celebrated art dealer in New York, the first African-American abstract artist represented by a major New York gallery, and curator of what is considered the first integrated modern art show in America. Mr. Bradley's fascinating story is brilliantly shared in this documentary, and again, skillfully scored by our guest today, Mr. Javon Jackson. Welcome, Javon.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
Good to have you here, man. Now, part of the subtle magic of this documentary, in my opinion, expertly helmed by director Alex Rappaport, is that we actually get to share quality time with Peter Bradley. I mean, there are no celebrity talking heads. There's no scripted juxtapositions between the then and the now. For the viewer, it's an in-the-moment intimate invitation, sort of a cocktails for two view through Peter Bradley's creativity day by day, the artist way. Now, do you remember when you first met him?
Right, and you're absolutely right on that. It's interesting that this documentary is 100% in the words of Peter, so you really get his perspective.
This was just a joy.
Absolutely. And the first time I met Peter was during my time with Art Blakey. He and Art were friends, and so he would come down and hear the music and hear the band, and I would get a chance to meet and speak with him at that time, talking about music and musicians, so we just had a real connection. And we stayed in contact even after Art's passing, and then we did fall out of contact because he moved to upstate New York, Socrates, and then I moved to Connecticut, New Jersey first at that time.
Okay.
So we just weren't in touch until later.
Now, I remember him observing that color is in all things, describing the sound of a trumpet as like yellows, whites, silvers. Has he, to your knowledge, ever illustrated the sound of your music, the color of the sound of your sound?
I agree with that. I think that certain sounds or certain keys in my mind exude a certain color. So I actually see the connection with those thoughts that he has.
Excellent. Excellent. So maybe your own concept of colors has changed just by simply this artistic alliance, by the friendship.
Absolutely. And again, musicians kind of see things as certain things that we're looking for, a certain fire or a certain energy. We do have a kind of color in mind. I think all of us have a color in mind when you think of a certain emotion you might have. You probably could put a color with it for yourself as an individual.
Yeah. Yeah, understood. Now, watching the documentary when you first watched it, were there parts of his life, of his journey, that surprised you or inspired you?
His upbringing, his interaction with a lot of the major artists in the film world, in the world of painting and architecture, and just his love for the music and how connected he is with artists and things like that, and just his overall arc as an artist was something that I was excited to see and definitely surprised by some elements.
For me, it's his losing his longtime living and working space on the top floor of that firehouse building. When that, many things struck me, but that stood out to me as some sort of tragic tradition, a curse really, and it touches so many. And from my perspective, so many artists in particular. I mean, the stories are different, but they're still intertwined. My mind will flash back to that Charles Mingus documentary where Mingus is in his East Village apartment, got his bass and his five-year-old daughter off to the side, and he's standing and staring out the window, rifle in hand, waiting for eviction day. Have you ever seen that documentary?
I have seen that. Absolutely. And I know there's a scene in which to which you speak. So there's a kind of a... Actually, not even looking at it like there is a connection. And when you talk about kind of the trials and tribulations of an artist, a lot of that can occur where the resources start to run dry.
Yeah, resources start to run dry, or different forces are at hand, like those senior citizens that were relocated from the Carnegie Hall Studio Tower apartment. They've been in there for like 50 plus years. And then they got Bloomberg's friends had some business proposals that took more time to launch than those tenants had to live. Don Shirley was in that building and the city wanted it and they just took it over. That's much like the city also wanted the top floor of that firehouse building where Peter Bradley was.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's definitely a through line. I mean, he fought the fight. He fought the good fight. And even with a lifetime lease, or at least that's what they tell you it is, you know, the city won and they got his top floor. Though I did some investigation and some of his fellow tenants still live and work there to this very day. I don't know how they did it, but they did. Well, fortunately, Peter overcame all sorts of challenges as followed, including homelessness and a whole host of late 80s troubles. And he rallied and went on the road with old friend Art Blakey, assuming the role of money manager and continuing as an all-around arts comrade. I know they said Blakey said he knew Peter's mother, so he trusted them. That's a good call. That's definitely a good call. Now, after the roller coaster of fame without the fortune, which is how it usually comes, it's just beautiful to know that he was able to reset and relocate to what I consider a kind of paradise. Man, I know you've been there, that 18th century stone home in Socrates, New York.
It's a beautiful place, and it's on a large plot of land, so me and Deborah's wife have a great respite. It's beautiful. I've been up there a few times. His birthday is actually coming up on the 15th of September, so I hope to go see him on that day.
Excellent.
But it's a great place, ma'am, and comfortable, and so he's quite finished with New York City.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, he's got trees, flowers, grass. He's got the sun in the morning and the moon at night, as the old song used to say. It's beautiful. He's done Manhattan, you know, so anybody else, you take Manhattan. He'll take Socrates, New York. Besides the essential cinematic concerns, what were the inspirations that helped you compose those soundtrack compositions?
Well, the concept of as an abstract painter, number one, helped me to provide a melody for him. This kind of occurs quite a bit in the film, and also his discussion of his mother and the love that he had for his mom.
Yes.
Which allowed me to have a melody that would stay with her and comment on her. And then other ideas and things that he had just in general about faith or the clouds or various comments he would have allowed me to create melodies, but largely off of his own conversation just allowed me to have a thing would come to mind as I would watch the film and watch certain scenes. And then also in conversation with a filmmaker in terms of what he was looking for.
Yes.
In certain areas and certain emotions that he was hopeful that the music could create.
Well, it did. It's fantastic. I mean, in particular, there are a number of them I like. I like with Peter Bradley, the theme of the game, Easy Peasy. That actually sings and swings to me, you know, in the studio, D-Town, great. You know what? This is a good time to acknowledge your quartet. Do you want to do the introduction, the honors?
Sure. The trumpeter is a gentleman named Grace Glassman. Pianist is Jeremy Manatoni. Bass player is David Williams is the bassist.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles Gould is the drummer.
Excellent, man. Solid Jackson. Now, one of the things we strive to do at Urban Buzz Magazine is highlight legendary artists, and you seem to be on a similar mission through those musical collaborations with the great Les McCann, pianist, composer, truth-telling singer, one of my favorites, and last year's wonderful The Gospel According to Nikki Giovanni, featuring the poet extraordinaire herself. Now, both of those artists are also worthy of high-quality documentaries, in my mind. Can you imagine a dinner party with Les McCann, Nikki Giovanni, and Peter Bradley at the same table?
That'd be interesting. Yeah, well, Nikki and Les do know each other, so
okay.
Once I met Nikki, Nikki and let Nikki know I knew Les, and with the three of us will get on the phone and talk, so they have a relationship. But that would be great. As you know, there is a documentary on Nikki that's out right now. I'm sure you're aware of it, right?
There's a new documentary on Nikki Giovanni?
Absolutely. This came out this year, and it was actually shown in Salt Lake City. I was there with the filmmaker with Peter Bradley. It was shown at the Slam Dance, but at the Sundance Film Festival, Nikki's film was just shown. It's called Going to Mars, and it won the Sundance Film Festival.
Ah, I'm definitely going to have to check that out. I'm definitely.
And it's been shown at many film festivals, and actually it's been shown at the London Film Festival in October and some other festivals, so it's been a lot of acclaim.
Excellent. Now, you know, there is another project that I believe is ripe for consideration, whether it's an album or a documentary, and that is an exploration, celebration of a not-so-long-ago musical movement that you are certainly no stranger to. Young Lions of Jazz.
Well, yeah, that depends what Young Lions you're talking about.
Well, there's so many. I mean, it was a beautiful time. The melody lingers on. I mean, all of those cats that were allowed through at that time, it was a movement.
Right. The only thing I was saying when we look at Young Lions, I mean, Miles Davis was a Young Lion, or Charlie Parker, or those Young Lions. I didn't know which ones he was talking about.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the 80s. Yes, I'm talking about the 80s. Yeah.
There was a serious movement at that time, a lot of it due to the emergence of Wynton Marsalis. So,
yes.
Absolutely. It could be something done to acknowledge that period of time, which was kind of not a resurgence, but a kind of reemergence of the music.
It's reemergence. It certainly opened up.
We are dedication to the music of Charlie Parker, Miles Davis, Duke Ellington, so forth and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a kind of revisiting of that great time in the, let's say, mid-40s to late 40s throughout the 50s, if you could look at it like that.
Throughout
the 40s, right?
Yeah. You have your hands in so many things, which is wonderful. I didn't even know I was going to ask this, but in researching you, I have this thing in my head where good music is good music. But when summertime rolls around, every festival you see is a jazz festival, even if there happens to be no jazz artist on stage. I had no clue about Jazz in the Valley. Like, you're
right. Absolutely. I'm sorry, I was waiting for the question. Yeah, I have been involved in that festival as artistic director for, 10 years now. And the impresario of that festival also is the CEO of the organization that area called Trans Art, and her name is Greer Smith.
Mm-hmm.
But the festival's been in existence for 22 years, I think.
Wow.
It's her 23rd, and 2 years will be her 25th. And she's really committed, not an understatement, in bringing acoustic music to the region.
Yes.
Had so many artists, as you're well aware of, whether it be Ahmed Jamal or Randy Weston,
mm-hmm.
Cedar Walton, and then as I became the curator, Jimmy Heath came, Ron Carter, so many, many great artists, Eddie Palmieri, so she deserves a lot of credit for her intuitiveness in terms of having music annually on the third Sunday of every August.
Wow, that's fantastic. And you're still at University of Hartford, correct?
Correct. I just started my 11th year there as the chair of the Jackson McLean Institute of Jazz Studies.
Yeah.
At the University of Hartford, and that's a rewarding position to have, to be able to support young people and help them in the same way that folks like Art Blakey and others helped me. So
mm-hmm.
It's kind of paid forward, which is what was given to me.
Well, that is fantastic, man. I do thank you for the commitment to the music. It's something that I worry about very much. Even in watching this documentary, and I'm saying I can excel, I feel that's where I live, but I don't see enough of it. And
yeah, I mean, I appreciate that very much, you know, but to the comment I made earlier about trying to pass it forward, Art Blake would always say that if we're not doing a good enough job to help young people know of it and be aware of the masters, then we can't complain about it.
Yeah.
So we can't complain that there's a lack of it if we're not doing our part. So
yeah.
To the degree that I try to do my part, I feel like I'm part of this big picture, which is what Peter feels like he's part of. But I can maybe paraphrase for him, where he feels like he's one small part of the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And during the film, I wanted to say that I did look at a lot of the artists that influenced him, which helped Mingus, who I know he's a fan of. He's obviously a fan of Miles Davis and Art Blakey, Max Roach, you know, Clifford Brown. He loves Ray Charles. He loves all the artists that we all appreciate too, Sarah Vaughan. So in that way, it did help me to kind of shape some of the compositions, knowing the kind of artists that he liked and what I felt the certain points in the film would gravitate towards based on him.
I just want to say thank you for sharing time and talk with Urban Buzz Magazine. Much appreciated. The documentary with Peter Bradley is currently enjoying much success on the film festival circuit and will soon be released in theaters and on various viewing platforms. Javon Jackson's soundtrack for With Peter Bradley is available now on Amazon, Spotify, iTunes, and wherever popular music is sold. Thanks again, Javon Jackson. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I want to say thank you, and I'm humbled by your appreciation of my work. So thank you.
I'm very, very happy to be speaking with you, and I salute you. And you are a jazz art champion. And they're in short supply these days. We need you.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, man. You take care.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Great. That was good. A very nice guy.